SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour two of The Money Line with Donnie Wrightside and Scott Wetzel starts now on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159.
You heard the man. He said it. It's hour number two, and you guessed it. It is hour number two. Scott and Donnie here in the afternoon on Moneyline, having some fun here, trying to see where JP is actually going this Sunday. He's going with an under. Now I like to see JP keep it regional here. So I'm going to take a shot on this. Even though the line is low, 38.5, Jets, Patriots under the total, Scott. That's where I'm going. What are you thinking here?
All right, that's not too bad, but that is a super low. I'm surprised it's an under. I have to say, I really thought it was going to be over. I thought it was going to be over on the Viking game, to tell you the truth. So I'm going to go. I think he's going to buy into the weather conditions up in Buffalo. I think he's going to go under 41.5 Bills Browns.
Oh, is it? Yes. You know what? I was trying to say JP would outsmart us by avoiding that game. But JP, is it just too easy to take that game, and that's the easy way to go? Where are you going with your under?
Yeah, I'm going to the Bears-Falcons because I'm not doing over.
Wow.
Give me that under all day.
Look at that. Coming out
of
nowhere.
Have you seen the Bears' defense? Have you seen the Bears' defense play lately? And Justin Fields, oh, by the way, play lately.
I honestly just like to think of it in terms of, like, I think of a lot of these things in terms of, like, the market. You're buying the pico top of Justin Fields and the absolute bottom of the Bears defense. I'm just betting against Marcus Mariota, who looked horrendous against the Panthers defense, who defends absolutely nobody, and I'm fading Fields.
There we go. Turnovers. You need some turnovers in the red zone, JP, or some missed Young Way Koo field goals in the dome to help you out then. I got to tell you, like, I've been having a lot of fun and a lot of profitability with taking quarterbacks touchdown props to the over listed at 1.5, anywhere between, Scott, -150 to +115. It's been really good. I got to tell you, I have Marcus Mariota, JP, actually circled this weekend as a legitimate look. And it's not so much that Mariota's great. He's got some pretty good weapons at wide receiver and tight end. But I just see that Bears defense and be like, come on, Marcus, you can get me two. Now, there's no lines out yet on those at FanDuel, so I'm waiting to see what it comes in at. But I got to tell you, I did look at that game for both Fields and Mariota, and I actually like Mariota a little bit more than Fields in this game to throw two touchdowns. But we'll see what happens in this one. So going to under.
Real quick,
yeah, go ahead.
How about a gentleman's bet?
All right, what do you got?
Marcus Mariota to get benched for Desmond Ridder this game.
Oh, see, that would hurt my feelings. Now, if he throws two touchdowns and gets benched, I would think that's sensational. That is good. What's the bet? So let's just say if Marcus Mariota stays in the game and throws two touchdown passes there, what do we have to do? I got you. If I win, you're going to make a couple stingers up when K-Dub returns massively in my favor. If I lose this bet and he does get benched, you just go K-Dub early next week with all the stingers in his direction. And don't tell. Hope he's not listening.
Perfect.
That is awesome. That is fantastic.
Let's do it.
There you go. All right. So a bet has been made here, Scott, on Marcus Mariota. So now I'm feeling a little bit more impactful now. By the way, we do a pick six pick six contest here every Friday between myself and Kevin. It's all like, you got to take an over, you got to take an under, you got to take an alt line, a teaser game. So we have some fun with that. But every touchdown prop I give out, I say on the air, like, all right, this one doesn't hit, Kevin's going to have to resign from the Sports Grid Network. I get a kick out of it. So does he. But by the way, three straight wins in that, too. So he hasn't resigned just yet at this point. But I love to do stuff there to try to tweak him a little bit. Because I got to tell you, we open up a show where it's like, a monologue of 1 full minute of just me. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly the way it goes. It sort of ruffles the feathers in the right way for me.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. And it's pretty easy to ruffle Kevin's feathers. Just throw LeBron James in there and you're going to ruffle. LeBron sucks or something like that. You throw that in as a little kicker and that's going to be the end of the world. So
I mean, just a kid from Queens up there loves LeBron James. I mean, there's not enough heroes in New York City that you can ride there. So, yeah, we can get on him. Maybe he's listening now, get a little bit angry with that response. But by the way, also, as you know, ruffling feathers. Hey, massive week, Scott, with wrestling this week. You got a massive Dynamite tonight, a massive Rampage, I believe, on Friday, and then a pay-per-view weekend with AEW. Like, he's losing his mind right now as if he's a kid in a candy store.
That is amazing. We got to get him dressed. You know, if he still dresses up for Halloween, how many, or at least when he did anyway, how many years did he dress up as a wrestler? Like every single one probably, right? Pick different, you know, whether it's Hulk Hogan or
exactly,
you know, the Masked Marvel. Or
there's got to be pictures floating around out there. And also, you're right about, like, we just went by Halloween. What are the chances that old K-Dub was out there masquerading as, like, you know, the masked marauder out here? Or something. That wasn't me. He shows up, because I know he goes to wrestling events, and I believe, actually, Scott, and JP, is this correct, too? Is he going tonight? He's going to Connecticut tonight, I think. Is that correct? Yeah, see, there we go. So he's actually going live to the AEW show. Now, I've seen Kevin take pictures, Scott, from the event itself on the ring. What are the chances that he's actually in costume at these things, but just doesn't tell us?
It's just pretty good. Man. Pretty good, yeah. One of my old producers is into that stuff. He's like one of the wrestlers. I think it is AEW. To tell you the truth, I think I mentioned this before. Remember Rich Caster, the former Jet tight end? So his son used to be my producer over at when I was over at the channel, and he was into that, and he got his break in real. We talked about it, I think. Just, you know, he would be wrestling in these little arenas, gymnasiums with 10 people. I mean, literally 10 people.
The indie circuit.
Like, oh. It's like, oh, man, are you sure you want to do this? And he got his breaks. I think it's AEW now, I think it is.
That's the way you go. You have to be in those gyms, in those middle school gyms, in those old churches with 13 people honing your craft out here, getting ready. It's amazing stuff here, the wrestling world with KW. But you know what? We got more football to talk next. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two, rolling through. If you want to get involved, easy to do. 844-843-6879. It's Moneyline on a Wednesday afternoon with Scott and Donnie, having some fun talking some NFL action. And obviously, big topics come up here, Scott. It's very interesting to me because I'm a big event type of guy. I'm not a big soccer fan at all. I don't watch the EPL. It has no bearing on my life whatsoever. But when you get the World Cup, I typically don't really enjoy it all that much. When the United States is in it, and most people are talking about it, I can get behind it. Not handicapping it, but if the game is on, I know people are talking about it, I like to be a part of it and, well, let's just say, be in the know. But the fact of the matter is, it used to be where I could pay attention to it, Scott. Why? Because it's in the middle of summer. I love Major League Baseball. But it's a nice little reprieve, like, oh, look, you know, the world's watching this event here. The fact that this is on in the heart of football season is kind of incredible to me because I know as a network, it's the world's most popular sport. Is it my most popular sport? No, it isn't. But you got to feel like that, the marching orders in the summer when it's just baseball and World Cup. Hey, guys, you really got to cover the World Cup and talk about it and break it down and just do some studying on it. But I got a feeling like outside of the United States games here, and the games will be on and we'll talk about it, I get it, but what is your level? Like, are you a soccer guy? And what is your level of excitement, I guess, for the World Cup overall?
I just as soon redo my vows, and I think you all know how painful that would be. So
I got you.
Zero interest. Just like you, just zero interest. You know, a part of my podcast, we got a soccer pool, so I just learned how it all works. You know, with the different pots that they have, and then you know, you play round robin, you get 2 points, a tie, and so now I understand how it all works, but. Otherwise, I could care less. I really no interest whatsoever. And all these people that are, you know, following soccer, I guess it's okay. I don't know. I'm a little weird on United States following sports outside our country. I'm a little provincial when it comes to that. So I don't understand why people love soccer over in Europe as much as they do. But if that's their thing, that's their thing. But I don't have much interest in it, to tell you the truth.
Now, by the way, JP, so, I mean, but when we were doing some soccer, I guess, style wagering, where JP will come on every once in a while. Hey, you know what? It's an MLS game on tonight. I'm going to take it. Apparently, Scott, no matter what team or what way you bet, it's an automatic win in soccer. Is that true, JP? Yeah, see that? I'm not all that familiar with soccer betting, but every time I get like three ways, a tie, this team's the win. Yeah, you know, even when I look at FanDuel, I can't. I told Kevin the other day, I'm glad they actually explain it to us here of how to wager, because there's three lines, and I don't know the home team. I'm supposed to know the home team is listed first when the home team usually be listed away or on the second side.
I don't even know. I've noticed that with hockey. I put in a couple bets because hockey you can bet that way too, and it really drops the line. Like the Devils last night were basically a 2-1 favorite at Montreal, but if you bet them to win the regulation, it dropped it all the way down to even, which is a huge discount. But they don't put like the home team. You're right; it's normally listed at the bottom, but in soccer, for some reason, it's listed at the top. So FanDuel lists the home team as the bottom, as it normally should be, but it really is reflective of the road team. So you have to be careful when you put those bets in and make sure you're betting, you know, the right team. So it is definitely confusing.
Now, JP, are you following the World Cup? Like, you getting down with the World Cup this year?
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, it's unfortunate where it is and what the circumstances are, but I can't wait to watch the games.
Now, here's what I like, too, on the early line, right? We actually get, like, a segment off. Like, you just got to tee it up, and we have a guy come on and talk about the World Cup and who's going to win it and like what some of the odds are. Right. Kyle Bond is the guy's name from the Sporting News, who does a pretty good job with the videos there, but it gives me like a couple minutes off. If I ask you, like, World Cup futures, JP, like, is there a long shot? Do you know who's winning it? Like, what do we even angle? Because I have no idea about any of these teams except where, oh, yeah, Brazil is usually good. Yep, Argentina makes some sense. Oh, yeah, Spain. Yeah. Outside of that, I don't know anything. Yeah, exactly.
Mexico,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd put my knowledge range in terms of, like, if you're watching, like, Power 5 conferences, like, you usually know who's playing, where they're at. That's probably my knowledge with soccer.
Now, what about the U.S., though? I mean,
150-1.
I mean,
let me ask you this. In football, 32 teams, could you name one player on every NFL team?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Could you name one player on all 32 World Cup soccer teams?
No, I definitely couldn't do that.
How many do you think you could name? I couldn't name any, so believe me, whatever your answer is not like.
Eight or nine.
That's pretty
good. 100% confidently.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, South Korea team will be tough, right? Ghana, maybe? Tough?
Yeah, once we get to countries that I don't know a ton of play. Yeah, but I could get through enough.
So you can even bet the runner-up market. You can bet to reach the final. And some up to reach the semi. So, I mean, there's a lot of betting options to actually have. Now, as we take a look at the Team USA, JP, I might as well keep you on here with us because I'm not going to be too big of a help, and apparently Scott not either, on what we're looking forward to. The U.S. and Wales are going to get after it on Monday at 2 o'clock. Home team, I guess, is the United States at a plus 160. This is what we like, right? Home team's at a plus 160. Away team as Wales at a plus 200. So why? Here we go, Scott. You take the 160, you take the 200 in every one of these games, you just profit. I mean, it sounds great, JP.
Yeah, I guess if that's how you're looking at it, you can never lose, Donnie.
Look at that. Tie plus 195. Man. Now, here's what they need to do. Like, plus 300 home, plus 300 away, plus 300 tie. Can we get the FanDuel Sportsbook to do that? So you can just press the lever on every one of them and come out a victor somewhere or another. At least not lose money.
One half-decent insight, especially on the U.S. team, they do have a tendency to play, like, very aggressively. And some of their matches, the stats behind it, like, they won a game against England where they had the ball for, like, 14 minutes where they won 1-0. That's just the way they play. So that's, like, the only team I would look to never bet on for a tie.
Oh, how about this? Gareth Bale plays for Wales. That's a name I recognize there. He's actually plus 190, JP. Anytime goal scorer. Christian Pulisic, plus 390. Reina plus 550. Are you going to get down on this one? Like, are you like Monday opens up? Usually, like, guys like me and Scott, like, hey man, what's the Monday Night Football game? How are we going to get down and try to bet this game for what is it, San Francisco and Arizona? You're going to be all like, I got to wear a jersey in, you know, maybe around Philly. Like, are you rocking jerseys?
I'm not, no, nothing like U.S. related. I have like a few soccer jerseys, but I'm definitely getting down on all these games and I'm excited for that Wales game. And Gareth Bale, LAFC hero who just won the MLS Cup for LAFC.
He did too. So he was that. You know what? That's why I remember that as well. What a shame the who I don't know who watched. I actually watched the last 5 minutes, Scott. Can you believe that at an MLS game? Because I had no idea, like, Philadelphia's team, the Union, was even playing in that game. And so I was surfing around Twitter. Oh, let me throw it on. Hey, look at this. They're going to win. And, boy, the way they lost. I'm telling you, if that was actually a major sport where the Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, or Eagles lost in the fashion they did, holy moly, the city would actually burn down to the actual ground. But since it was soccer, it was a little bit tame. Now, JP, you live around a lot of bars in the city, don't you?
Absolutely, yep.
I got to tell you, the one thing around the World Cup that you're always surprised with, in the bigger cities, let's just say, like, you know, Miami's of the world, Dallas, like, people get down with the World Cup because you never know how flavorful that city is and the people coming out to watch it. I imagine the bars around Philly will be packed, and you'd be surprised who's a soccer fan and not.
I already have friends texting me, like, the plans, that England-U.S. Men's National Team game on the 25th. My friends are already, they've been in preparation for like months now. It's going to get
Scott's ready. Look at that, wow. England. Now, England is a favor, aren't they? Favorite in this? Or at least the top?
They're a favorite in the cup in general, but definitely over the U.S. team. Despite us beating them, which is crazy how that works.
It would be interesting. Yeah, I remember it was back in what, 2000? Did we beat them in 2010? I forget the World Cup where the Eagles. The U.S. team ended up knocking off England there. It'll be something to watch. There's no doubt about it here. And as they like to say, JP, is it coming home this year? Do you think? Is it coming home or no?
No, I'm looking more towards the South American teams to take this home. I really like Argentina this year.
Ah, Scott, how are you enjoying this over there, man? Little Argentina action for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. what is the U.S.? Was it a 50-1, 60-1? I know the
I think it's higher than that, isn't it? That's like 150-1, maybe? What was it? Hold on, let me see. Let me see here. Team futures, U.S., 150-1. Woo, wow. Retirement time. Throw a couple shekels down a team. USA, by the way, USA is below Senegal. Say it isn't so. But even below Wales. Wait, they're favored to beat Wales, but even below them? Oh, my goodness. What's going on here? I can't even get down with soccer right now. It makes no sense to me. But we'll be back. Are you going to be back? Of course you will be. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, cruising through the afternoon right here on Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Phone lines are open if you want to get involved, 844-843-6879. If you're listening to hour number one of this show, Scott was prelude. We had a triple header tonight in Maction, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 8 o'clock. Eastern Michigan, Kent State in the early game, the middle game, Miami, Ohio, Northern Illinois, and the late game, Western Michigan and Central Michigan. Some of these teams locked into position of we're not going to a bowl. Some teams need two wins here to finish out the season to get bowl eligible, maybe playing into the psyche of some of these teams. Any looks tonight, Scott, that you have in Maction tonight?
You know, Don, I tell you, it's taken me a long time to figure this out, but it worked for one day after years and years of betting losing MAC action. It finally dawned on me, the boys in Vegas, you know, they're generally smart, but every once in a while they fall asleep at the wheel in that they give home crowds and home teams, you know, the benefit of the doubt as they would in any other normal college and NFL game. But if you ever watch these midweek MAC games,
always,
there's nobody there. It is. I mean, you're talking literally 1,000 people. And
yes,
I've yet to see a MAC game where it's not raining or snowing. I don't know what it is during a week, but every single game. So there is nobody in the stands. So I now look for the road team and see where I'm getting, I hate this phrase, but value. Like last night it was Ohio. To me, that they should have been a monster favorite, and they were only a couple of point favorite over a bad whoever they played. I forget who it was, and they won. So same thing tonight. To me, Miami of Ohio needs two wins. They got Ball State next week to get bowl eligible, and that's a huge thing. Northern Illinois is 3-7. They're not that good. So I like Miami of Ohio. And I think Eastern Michigan against Kent State, that should be a pick'em game. But Kent State's the home team, and they're making them a whopping 7.5-point favorite because they're at home. Well, with 500 people in the stands. And all these teams, for the most part, they're all drivable. So it's not like they're flying in and dealing with hotels and there's going to be no fans there. You know, they're taking an hour bus ride to some of these places. They're so close to each other. So I like, long story short, looking for that road team. I think that you're getting an extra 2, 3, 4, 5 points that the boys in Vegas are giving you because they think it's a traditional road game when it's not.
Yeah, and also Kent State does need 2 victories here to become bowl eligible, so maybe moving the needle just slightly, people betting on that type of advantage. But by the way, Mac is, we're usually used to, Scott, right, scoring a lot of points in crazy, wild finishes. You do have a nice total in that Kent State-Eastern Michigan game because Kent State does go quite fast at 60.5, some 60s on the board depending on where you're shopping at. But the other two Mac games, particularly Miami, Ohio, and Northern Illinois, 45.5. 44.5 now. And FanDuel actually opened that up at 50.5. So almost a touchdown swing towards the under. Western Michigan and Central Michigan here, they are going from a 54.5 opening number down to a 49.5. So some people just not doing the, hey, Scott, it's a MAC game, I'm just going to take the over and see what happens.
Yeah. Remember the good old days? You know, every game would have 75 points or so. That was like your automatic lock. You built your pot for the weekend by just betting the overs on these midweek games. But things have turned around. Yeah. Not one, but 2 games under 50 points. That's amazing.
Yeah, credit Mac leadership for doing that, because if you're just burying these games on a Saturday afternoon, you might as well just make them Division III. But the fact that they get national prominence being on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, that is a conference that was thinking outside the box. Because MACtion wasn't always this way. It was usually just like every other college football team. We're going to play on Saturdays, and that's what our league does. And the ESPN's like, hey, you know, we got a little void here. If you guys want to go a little crazy, we'll put some money in your pocket. So when you do end up going to Kent State, Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, again, hey guys, you're gonna get TV time a few times in November with a national audience. The kids like that, and rightfully so. If you can make some money, that certainly can help out as well. All right, let's talk some football here. I mean, football is gonna rule the roost. We're gonna have some fun with that. We'll do a little bit of NBA in the next segment. There's a couple more games here Sunday afternoon, which I do think are quite interesting overall. And that's gonna start at the 1 o'clock game between the Eagles and the Indianapolis Colts. Setting the table, we know the Philadelphia Eagles lost Monday night. Who cares about the refs? Who cares about the play? They took a loss. So you have to go with that, right? They're not really too banged up or injured. Although Goddard looks like he's to the IR today, which means he'll miss at least 4 games, which is a big loss. One of the better tight ends in the NFL. But the Indianapolis Colts, Scott, as you know, went on the road and took care of the Vegas Raiders, who stink. I mean, they absolutely stink. Jeff Saturday's a hero of the world. Ursay says, see, I was right all along. Now, that schedule is going to get much, much tougher here for the Colts over the next couple weeks. But that line is now under a touchdown. Is a strategy of run the football for 3 yards a pop, run the clock, get some help from the refs. That's how you beat the Eagles. And what do we see out of the Colts this week? Is it a resurgence, or are we going to be back to, man, Matt Ryan just got sacked 7 times in this game. What's going on over there?
Yeah, Colts 10-4 when Jonathan Taylor rushes for 100-plus yards. You know, not that the Redskins had a lot of success average-wise rushing the ball, but you got to believe that that's going to be their...
49 rushes.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that you have to figure the Colts, that's going to be their game plan, right? Run the ball with Matt Ryan, especially at quarterback. So Philadelphia 1-5 against the spread is 6-point or more road favorites. I don't know if they lose, but I'm on that Jeff Saturday train. I thought Bill Cowher was way out of line. I thought all the other people that criticized this move. The guy's an interim head coach, Donnie. He didn't get a 5-year, $25 million commitment. He's an interim head coach for a team that was in last place or next to last place, whatever they were. I mean, big deal, right? You know, all the bozo head coaches that are out there. You know, you think that they made an allegation to be a genius to be an NFL head coach, for goodness sakes. I could spend an hour on some of the mistakes these coaches make. So, you know what? I hope the Colts still win. I'm rooting for the Colts. So give me the 6.5 points.
Hey, it's pretty crazy how it all wound out, too, because, you know, he wasn't coming into a great situation, and he's still not. He won 1 game. He might lose his next 7 games there, and everybody get a good chuckle out of it. But it was the whole, like, I can't believe they're hiring Jeff Saturday, who's never been a coach before, outside the organization, see what you can do. But I always love the, oh, man, the guy's in-house. They're going to revolt. Are you kidding me? The guy's in-house probably said, you know what? God, Jeff Saturday's the head coach. I don't want to be the head coach of this football team. Because what's going to happen if I'm Reggie Wayne or if I'm Gus Bradley? Hey, Gus, you want to be head coach? Oh, sure, I'll be the head coach. Boy, man, Gus Bradley went 1-7 down the stretch. He's never going to be a head coach. Like, why would you want this job? There's nobody on that stage like, you know what, I'll show you. No, those guys in the building going, this team's not very good. Do I want to attach myself to, hey, I finally got an interim job. Hey, how'd you do over there? Went 5-4. That's awesome. No. You're probably going to go 1-8 or whatever it's going to be. And you'll never get a head coaching job on top. He actually, Ursay's probably doing those guys a favorite overall, because what's the residual effect? Hey, weren't you on that staff where Indy fired Frank Reich, fired the offensive coordinator, and you guys finished out well? Hey, you know what? Might be a good coach over there. That's the way I would take it, because if it goes the opposite direction, nobody's going to hold the assistant coaches accountable. Like, hey, weren't you an assistant coach on that? Yeah, that was a sinking ship, man. So they didn't make me head coach. What do you want? Yep, good story.
And the other thing, Donnie, I would say was these guys are part of the problem. These guys were the coaches that could only tie the worst team in football opening day. These are the same coaches that got demolished by Jacksonville the following week, 24-0. You guys are lucky you still have a job, let alone be the head coach. What, are you kidding me? I think if they could fire every single staff member, they probably would. The head coach, are you again, you're part of the problem. You're not the solution, because if you were the solution, you wouldn't have lost those first two games or didn't win those first two games and play as poorly as they have. So I'm surprised at Cowher. You know, those guys never take stands, you know, kind of like the old boy network, but I thought he was way, 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 way out of line on that stuff. And anyway, like I said, it's an interim head coaching position. Big deal.
Yeah, and didn't Bill Cowher like leave coaching and have no experience in being in a front office, but a broadcaster? Did anybody rip him? Like, I can't even believe that some of these players are leaving, you know, the game and becoming broadcasters in the booth. They have the same energy for Tony Romo and, you know, who's the tight end? Olsen, and pretty soon Tom Brady. Like, Tom didn't even go to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. How could he even get that job? That's not fair. Do you know how many people got passed up who were working hard to be that? No, stop it. It's just the way the world works. It's who you know and who can move the needle, and they'll put you in that position here. So it is one to keep an eye on for. By the way, Washington, which is on a little, I don't say a win streak, but season turning around where maybe they're going to be in the playoff hunt. Anytime you start to turn your season around, you love to see the Houston Texans ahead. Yeah. -2.5 was the opening line. It's now sitting at 3.5. Are we buying Washington? Or could this be a game where Washington goes on the road like, this is why this team stinks, man. Like, they beat the Philadelphia Eagles, get a little bit of a help, but then they go on the road and Houston outplays them, which would be, I think Houston is terrible, and Washington should be able to hand the football off and do again 50 rushes here and have their way. But that line does seem a little bit short. But then again, can you really buy into the Washington Commanders?
They're a dangerous team in that they seem to be in a spot, Donnie, where they're the underdog, when they're the hunter, they are okay. But when the tables get turned, then it's a different story. Then you wonder, right? I mean, the whole year, whether it's the Daniel Snyder stuff, whether it's the nickname, whether it's the players, a poor guy getting shot, now the FBI is involved. They've had all these things to sell their players on, us against the world. Well, you can only sell that so often. And now, in this case, now it's Houston that's the underdog. So that's why I'd be a little leery. Taylor Heinicke, you know, you love his moxie and everything, but he's 10-11 as a starter. So he's not exactly great. I could see Houston, which is pretty good against the spread, believe it or not, 7-5-1 their last 13 games. I could see them, you know, covering the spread, maybe losing field goal game. But if you get that hook, I think you're in a pretty good spot with the Texans.
And by the way, news coming out here in Buffalo, not obviously having to deal with the weather, but maybe just winter related. The headline is Bills alter practice schedule amid rash of illnesses, which is never a good thing. And if anybody has to say, hey, well, it's Wednesday, they'll be fine. If any of you guys out there have ever had like the flu or flu symptoms on like a Wednesday or Thursday, you don't feel good Saturday and Sunday. Trust me, you're just trying to get over that. As a gambler handicapper, Scott, would that play into it here? Like, hey, you know what? They'll probably have them on some great medicine. They'll be cleared by Friday. I always get leery because when it usually hits one section, it rolls around that locker room.
Yeah, I'd be concerned about that. I would. I'd be concerned more about that than I would the weather on Sunday, yeah. Right? It could be 75 if these guys all have the flu, sniffling and then losing their breath and not being able to run. Yeah.
Freezing cold. We'll be right back here. You know what time it is. It's Moneyline. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back out of here. Hour number two. cruising through. Time does go fast. It's Scott and Donnie here in the afternoon on Moneyline, Sirius XM channel 159. If you want to get involved, we can still get your phone calls in, 844-843-6879. Big weekend in college football. We did spend some time talking about where these teams are fitting into the playoffs and certainly what sort of madness can happen if a few teams take losses and you end up with multiple teams saying we should be able to get in with one loss, whether you are a Power Five champion or not. You might not have even played in your championship game with one loss. So betting this weekend, not necessarily looking at like an individual game, like let's just say like Illinois, Michigan. Michigan knows, hey, if you went out, no matter if it's by 1 point the rest of the way, you are going to be playing in the championship games, or should I say championship round with the college football playoff. Is there a team this weekend, Scott, whether it be Georgia versus Kentucky, Ohio State versus Maryland, Clemson versus Miami, is somebody playing for a little bit more? And the reason I ask this question is I sort of find myself taking a look at Tennessee in that five hole going, if somebody loses, we're going to be able to jump in there. But if not, and two teams lose, and now three teams with one, and you're arguing, does it feel the need that maybe the voters will look towards, well, how are you playing down the stretch? Are you winning by 7 points against a team you should beat by 20? Or are you winning by 40 against a team you're supposed to be beating by 20? Are there any outside, like, leverage you use by saying, hey, you know what, Tennessee's favored by 21.5, but I know if they're up 20 points with a minute to go inside the 10, they're going to punch this one in?
Yeah. Two teams, one more than the other. The lesser one would be Ole Miss at Arkansas. They're ranked 14. It would take a minor miracle for them to get in. But, you know, maybe they just want to beat the snot out of an Arkansas team that is going to be emotionally drained, I would think, after nearly beating LSU last week. But even more so than that, USC would be the one. They got to be so ticked off at UCLA, Donnie. The Bruins, we talked about it in one of the breaks, losing last week at home to Arizona. You had two top 10 teams with, you know, in this case, USC. You be able to beat a number 9 or number 8, whatever UCLA would have been, team. That's a huge chip on your resume. Bruins lose. They drop to 16. Now if USC beats the snot out of them, UCLA drops completely out of the top 25. So you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. But I could see USC at number 7 wanting to really pile it on UCLA. That was a tough loss for them last week, for the Bruins, hurting the Trojans' cause. And I could see USC just kind of wanting to score, and score some more there.
Yeah, the interesting ones, too. You got a 9 o'clock game, which on outset looks like nobody really should be paying attention to it. And it's one of those games that the SEC is notorious for, where they like to say, okay, before we have a big game to end the season, or let's just take that breather game. Instead of loading up 4 like cupcakes to start the season, we'll just take maybe 2 of them and save one for later. And that's UAB versus LSU. Now, LSU is 8-2 on the season. They've already clinched their side of the bracket to head towards the SEC championship game against Georgia. But they're all eyes, again, are on LSU. It was a good win last week against Arkansas. Push, you know, slight win, depending on which way you went last week when they went on the road. They still won, which is good. They moved up a spot to 6. Obviously, you got to get into the top 4. But I look at these games where LSU is only favored by 14.5 points. Now, UAB is a decent football team. But again, Ryan Kelly knows the stakes here. There's no way LSU is going to help their cause if they go out and win 28-14 right around that spread. It just feels like, I don't know, the numbers are the numbers. And you can't just say, well, we need to score a lot, so we're going to score a lot. I understand how things work. And UAB wants to go and say, you know, I'm playing an SEC team. It's like our Super Bowl this week. You'll get an honest effort. But I just look at some of those numbers and be like, man, they should just hammer them. Why? Because they have no choice but to hammer them. If they don't, and they have a chance, hey, well, we took a knee at the 5, Scott, because we were already at 14. That's sportsmanship. That's not sportsmanship. That's how you stay home, because that one voter that's not actually watching your game and just sees the box score, whoa, only won by 14. Come on now. Like, well, they did take a knee at the 3.
Yeah. Why is that line only 14 anyway?
I don't know. I just actually looked at that, too. Yeah.
5-5. I mean, and they got Louisiana Tech next week. So they need one more win to become bowl eligible. I can't help but think that, the you know, down 2 or 3 scores, they're going to pull their guys saying, we don't want to take any chances for next week. A 14.5 point home favorite? That's awfully weird. But, you know, to your point, when you were talking about, I don't know if you saw the end of the Ohio State game, right? So Indiana scores. They're trailing by 35, Donnie. 35, yes. Midway through the fourth quarter. and Ohio State puts its starters back in the game, and they're throwing the football, and they throw a touchdown pass, and they win by 42. Line was, oh, by the way, 40 and a half.
Ah.
So it's just like, are you kidding me? Really? You're up 35 points with 7 minutes left, and you got the starters still in the game throwing the ball. So, yeah, look for some of these 25 to 28 point spreads, and just know that if they are up 3-4 touchdowns at this point, you know, whether it's Michigan or whether it's LSU or whoever it may be, they're not going to be calling off the dogs. They're going to want to score and score some more. So
exactly. We told you to stop scoring. You scored. Now we're bringing our starters back in to score against you. But if we're looking also like on the side bets per se, right? Heisman winner. C.J. Stroud, team's unbeaten here. He's a plus 100, obviously, as Ohio State's quarterback. Hendon Hooker is now at 4-1 when he was the favorite. But as you know, Tennessee didn't play all that well against the true number one, Georgia Bulldogs, going down in that game. But they hung 60-plus points last week. Drake May, if you haven't heard that name, well, that's why. Scott was talking about UNC down there at 13 trying to get buried there. They haven't had their moment yet, their big-time game. 3:30, 7:30, primetime, get a look at this. But he's a really good quarterback for Mac Brown's crew. Blake Corum, running back here from Michigan at a plus 750 price. Caleb Williams, obviously USC. He's 12-1. Stetson Bennett, number one Georgia. He's the quarterback there at 18-1. Is it so easy where if C.J. Stroud just runs the table, which means they beat Michigan, they're going to walk to that Big Ten championship and he gets it? But is there any value for you on Hooker, May, Corum, Williams, Bennett, or anybody else here if C.J. Stroud does stumble here as the favorite?
And he could, right? I mean, if the voters don't vote before or if they wait till after the Michigan game, I mean, he realistically could. You know, the numbers, I won't say they're not there because he does have 34 touchdown passes and he only has 4 interceptions, but he's only thrown for 2,700 yards where the leader has thrown for nearly 1,000 more. So it's not like he's over the top. It's almost like he was billed up for the season and, okay, they're still winning, so we got to, you know, put him number one. But just as I criticized the Ohio State schedule when you talk about them getting into the Final Four, I you know, you got to criticize it with C.J. Stroud throwing for all these passes against a bunch of nobodies. But no one's kind of emerged this year to be that Cinderella story or you know.
Yeah, we're usually like a minus 5,000 at this point in the season for somebody. Like, oh, my God, he's got 60 touchdown passes or he's going to run for 2,000 yards. Alabama's unbeaten. It's either between two Alabama players and just somebody from UCF where obviously, you know, the guy from UCF is not going to win it. It should be interesting to see how it plays out because does C.J. Stroud just need to complete a perfect season there for Ohio State? Or can Hendon Hooker, what more can Hendon Hooker do?
I know.
Like, pile up ridiculous numbers over the next 2 to 3 weeks because that's all you can do. And as you try to run it up, you might as well get him the Heisman. It'll be interesting where it falls. Or Blake Corum scores 5 touchdowns against Ohio State, and they beat Ohio State on the road. Like, something like that would have to happen here.
Yeah. I would, if I had to vote, and I did vote one time. It was pretty cool. But it would be Hooker. Hooker would be the one for me. You know, they have a bunch of good wins. They struggled a little bit against Georgia, but, you know, it wasn't a 49-0 type of game like it was with Oregon. So, you know, he did well enough in all the other games. He's got nearly as many touchdowns when you count his touchdown runs as Stroud. And I'm just not impressed with C.J. Stroud throwing for 5,000 yards against Indiana and Rutgers and Northwestern. So my vote right now would be for Hooker.
By the way, who did you vote for when you had a vote, Scott?
Man, it was about 10 years ago. I don't even remember. This is when there was actually ballots. Like, now you can do it on computers.
Who'd you get, Manziel? Did you hit up Scotty, Johnny Manziel?
Was it Johnny Fieldgoal? It was in that era.
Or one of the Alabama kids. Mark Ingram, whoever.
I can't believe I don't remember who it was. But it was in that era. And they do it by sections, and it's all kind of – and right around now, you kind of put your name in the hat, can I get a Heisman Trophy vote? And then there's – each section is awarded so many votes. So I was out in Illinois at the time, and there weren't that many out there. Or was I – Illinois, or was I out here? I don't know. It was like 10 years ago. So, but it was kind of cool. It was definitely kind of cool. And then they stopped
put
because
the
of
votes
doing gambling
in.
Stuff. Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Look at that. You might have influence on the gambling market. Like, hey, you know what? Let's all pool our votes together and get CJ Stroud at a plus money price and hammer that thing, as we know. Like the straw poll in the NBA when it was, hey, Joel Embiid's going to win MVP. And they said, no, he's not. Luka Doncic. We just talked to some. Oh, there goes the betting market. And of course, not Luka Doncic. Nikola Jokic, had ended up winning that over him in that straw pool there. By the way, college basketball, good game on tonight. There was two good games last night. I got to tell you, I took the odds boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook last night, and I can't even believe this, because the second game was delayed a little bit. It was the Duke game yesterday versus Kansas, paired that up with the first game, Michigan State, and they had to go over 300 combined points between the two games, which is about a 15-point difference there, 140s for both of those games, but you had the average 150 there, and again, if you didn't get it in the first game, it didn't matter. First game was a stone cold under. Goes double overtime. Like, oh my goodness, this is perfect, man. Now I'm in the plus. I need like 137 points out of Duke, Kansas. They end up 69-64, and it loses by about 4 points overall. It's plus 250. So it made me laugh. Like, oh man, I got all the breaks. No way this doesn't actually happen. And I scroll over the middle of the night. Like, are you kidding me, man? Like, because the first tweet I saw in the middle of the night was like, huh, Duke starts slow. Thanks, guys. But they actually picked it up a little bit. Weren't able to get over the hump. But tonight, Gonzaga and Texas. Gonzaga going on the road. Not afraid to play teams in the quote-unquote preseason before the regular season starts here. 2-0 Gonzaga, 2-0 Texas. The reason why I'm bringing this game up here, depending on where you're shopping at, let's just say roughly a bucket favorite here for Texas. Now, the Zags have played Michigan State on an aircraft carrier, but did win by one. Texas hasn't played really anybody yet. When you bet college basketball, if you do this early in the season, Scott, do you look at it and say, well, give me at least one game where you were battle-tested as opposed to, boy, Texas might be really good, I just don't know it, or, man, Texas, get it together and play somebody. I can't believe I bet on you tonight.
Yeah, I like Gonzaga in the game tonight. And that line was one last night, and now it's up to 2.5, at least on FanDuel. But these are the type of games that Gonzaga wins, right, Don? I mean, at the end of the year, we always look at their resume and say, boy, you know, at the beginning of the year, they were beating North Carolina. They were beating Duke. Mm-hmm. They were beating Texas. You know, so this is, to me, this is one of those games. Where they beat Michigan State. They found a way to win. And then they beat Texas, and they beat Blissman and that team. So, you know what? I like the Zags. You want to give me the Zags plus the 2.5 or plus 112? I do think they find a way to win. And I like them being battle-tested, yes. I think that and battle-tested that they were down double digits first half against Michigan State. They didn't play well, and they rallied in the second half to win. So I like them.
Exactly. Helped Michigan State last night as they were continuously down for the most part of that game last night, down at the end of the first half and the end of the first overtime, tied it up in both instances on their last possession and handled their business in overtime number two. Now, the NBA, an interesting one tonight, which never thought I would see here. 10 o'clock tonight, Warriors and the Suns. The Warriors are 6-8, which is crazy to begin with anyway. The Suns are 8-5. But the Warriors, Scott, 0-7 on the road to start the season. Going up against the Suns, who are 6-1 at home. Golden State here, depending where you're shopping at, you know, a -1 point favorite for Golden State on the road, even though they haven't won. Do you take it as, well, eventually they're going to win on the road, they might as well do it tonight? Or, man, you got to show me something, Golden State, on the road at that point, right?
Sheesh. Greatest sports axiom of all time. Winners bet with streaks, losers bet against streaks. So there you go. You got to keep on betting against them until they win.
Yeah. Haven't won on the road yet. Sure, take them tonight. Why? I don't know. Haven't won yet. Yeah, that's a great sound strategy. One segment to go before we get out of here for the day. It's Moneyline. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here. Let's give away some picks here. Have some fun before we get you on for the rest of your Sports Grid day. This has been Moneyline. It's been a lot of fun here. All right, I'm going to go first. Obviously, you got some action tonight. No NFL action here. Some college basketball. I'm just going to go with a prop tonight in the NBA, figuring that Klay Thompson does return back tonight for the Golden State Warriors. I don't care if they win the game or not. I'm going to take his player points, rebounds, and assists on FanDuel over 22.5 at a -106 price to have some fun. JP, where are you going?
Happy to look ahead and go to that Bears-Falcons game under.
Marcus Mariota. And since we know K-Dub's not listening in, get ready for an exciting Monday of intros and outros here with your boy Donnie Wrightside. Now, Scott Wetzel, what do we got for the people out there tonight?
I got a couple here. How about some hockey shots on goals? Got to lay a little juice here, but I do like Buffalo's Jeff Skinner. He averages over 3.5 a game. FanDuel's got it at 2.5, -155, and they're playing Ottawa, which couldn't spell defense, let alone play it. So I like that one. I also, St. Louis's Justin Faulk. He averages over 3 a game. Again, it's 2.5, and it's only at -115. So the juice on that one, not too bad. NBA, there's some funky lines tonight. I get it. Some guys may not be playing, but I don't care. Give me the Pelicans -1.5 at home against the Bulls. Mavericks only 6 at home against the Rockets. And best play for me is I love Denver laying 3 at home against the Knicks, who were in Utah last night. Got to hop on a plane, fly to Denver. Nuggets were off last night. That's a real tough spot for the Knicks. I think Denver wins easily, so lay the 3.
There you go. The NBA, the only league in the world that plays games and the players take routine days off during game day. Imagine that in Major League Baseball. Yeah. Imagine that just, you know, in hockey. Imagine that in the NFL. This Sunday, by the way, Jalen Hurts, load management here. Going to take the day off against the Indianapolis Colts. Would be wild to have. By the way, quick update here. Rizzo back to the Yanks. The only question is now is, does Aaron Judge return? Does he go out west? And how much money is it going to cost to get him back? Thanks again for tuning in today to Moneyline. For Donnie, JP, and Scott, always fun. You know what? We'll be back at it tomorrow. See you later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.